six ugly motherfuckers. Sorry, I'm horribly distracted. I'm trying to get Audacity to start.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I just turned on your microphone there as you said six ugly motherfuckers. No context whatsoever to what you said.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It shall remain a mystery.
Yes, let's leave it like that.
Okay. Right, let's get this shit started.
Yeah, that's it. I'm done. Coming to you from West and Southeast Ireland simultaneously, the anti-broadcast. Thank you for joining us. We are just here by the skin of our behinds, folks, technologically. Yeah,
yeah,
we're doing well.
We're doing okay. We missed last week. It was down to me. I had too much shit on to, it actually left me pretty much exhausted, so it wouldn't have been much fun, but yeah, the humdrum of a la carte Catholic, you know, so I had to bring my child to get confirmed, which is fun.
Has that happened yet?
Yeah, that happened on 9/11. So, in honor of 9/11, okay. We went and had my child confirmed as a Catholic, which is probably the best thing to do with 9/11, because I don't think I really had the strength or willpower to fucking go through it all again. And by that, I don't mean that I lost somebody in the Twin Towers. It's just the fucking, to go through the conspiracy of it all. I spent so much fucking time.
We're burned out by it.
Yeah, it's fucking awful. Needless to say, it was the Jews. And, you know, that's it.
That's it. And, you know, billions and billions and billions of dollars just vanished into nowhere. And all the papers that can lead to where that money is all went down with the Twin Towers. And also a load of documents were put into the front building. Front of the Pentagon, and luckily, wow, a plane managed to hit that and destroy all those too. And that's all you need to know, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. Jews. Yeah, but it's like any, you know, grand fucking conspiracy. There's too many. It can never be proved to anyone's satisfaction. And who are you trying to fucking prove it to anyway? And even if it was proved, nothing would fucking change, would it? You know, if there was a grand announcement, okay,
no.
There's been a grand conspiracy, we've uncovered it, here are the guilty people. What then?
Well, then there would be a lot of skepticism around that, because, yeah, it's the government saying it.
Yeah, there might be a resignation somewhere along the line. if they were Irish, there wouldn't be, of course. you know, there would just be continuous denials and talk about how the optics don't look great.
there'll be a resignation, but it'll be a temporary resignation, like Tony Hula Hoop, who murdered a bunch of women, and suddenly he's back again making all the major COVID decisions.
Well, what happened with this murder of women? What?
The cervical smear scandal.
Oh, that was, he was there at the time, was he?
He was overseeing all that.
All right, okay, that's reassuring. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
we're in safe hands. So, yeah. So I got my daughter confirmed. It's been a long time since I was at the Catholic Church at any sort of ceremony. The last one was when my mother passed away, but that wasn't a religious ceremony. That was a humanist ceremony.
Oh,
I'm not sure. My mother didn't want a Catholic burial, which was strange because she was pretty much a Christian. I don't know why. Maybe she had issues in her childhood. Who knows? It's a bit late now to find out. So pretty fucking dull, got to say. The whole Catholic Mass thing needs a bit of energy injected into it. I think they need to hook up with some sort of fucking event management type business and get some fucking loud music in there, a bit of smoke, some lasers. They gotta jazz it up. Wow, there's a fucking Freudian slip. It's incredibly fucking dull, like just ridiculously dull.
It really is. And yeah.
When they train the priests, whatever seminary they go to, oratory isn't high on the curriculum. Every fucking one of them are as dull as absolute dishwater. How they converted people is a fucking mystery to me. If it was purely based, or maybe it's a hypnotic trance. Because even though it was dull, because it's ingrained in my mind from a child, you still do all the responses and all the blessings and the getting up and getting down and kneeling down and standing up and, you know, putting the sign of the cross on your head and your lips and your heart, and it's still there, like, you know, it never ends. But now you get a warning at the end about COVID, not to hang around outside too long.
Oh my god, really?
Yes.
Jesus. Yeah. Talk about cucking to the to a higher authority than Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Yeah, so on the holy water fonts, they're all sealed up as well. They've been replaced with hand sanitizer.
the new sacrament of the new religion.
Yeah.
And yeah.
The anointing, wow. The anointing oil as well, so... that was all little cotton buds, and each separate cotton bud for each child.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Exactly. But they did their best. I don't know. What are you going to do? Well, I know what you should fucking do. Like, you think the priesthood would, you know, have a little bit more gumption about them. But no.
Some do, but not enough. Nearly enough. Yeah.
Yeah. But my daughter was happy, so... she made some money, so that was about the height of it for her.
Well, I mean, you know, that's what it was for me, you know.
Yeah, me too.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, and I had
a bit of cash, just...
I had my ex-wife.
Because you never know what you're going to walk away with at the end of the day. I mean, it could possibly be endless. You just go up to as many adults as you can and strike up conversation. But anyway, you were saying...
Sorry, what's that? You're saying you're going up to adults and striking up conversations? Oh, yeah.
In your communion and conversation, confirmation, you know.
Yeah, well, I would have went visiting relatives. I grew up in Dublin, so you wouldn't dare talk to a fucking stranger in case you were, you know, whipped away in a white van somewhere and never seen again.
And then you have no choice.
Yeah. But yeah, so we didn't get the chance to bring her around to all her relatives so she could make some more money. So we'll do that at a later date. But yeah, so I was saying I had my ex. So I called her my ex-wife. She's not my ex-wife. My ex-demon, I think maybe a better term. She came down for the ceremony as well and asked if she could stay in my house with my wife for the weekend, which is fun. Of course, I told her to fuck right off. So I wasn't expecting that. Wasn't surprised by it, but I wasn't expecting it. So we did a very modern thing and we split the confirmation in two. So she had her for the best part of one day, and then I had her for the next. And then I just prayed that she would go home rather quickly. And thankfully, thankfully she did. I had to be strategic about it as well. So I was talking to my wife and I told her, look, if perchance you are talking to her, because with her coming down here, my ex, I thought she, you know, she's going to get to see the children more. She's going to realize the life in the countryside is a bit better than Dublin. And she may be tempted to actually fucking make a move and come down here to live. So I had to state, look, to my wife, if you're talking to her, just casually say that we're selling the house and we're moving to Meath in the next 6 months. So then she just, okay, well, you know, there goes that fucking idea. So you have to strategize with these things, you know, you just have to cover all your fucking bases.
Wow.
That's how on edge I am.
Jeez.
Around that. So
the amount of stress you must live with on a daily basis. Yeah. Oh my God.
Hence the exhaustion. And the fatigue. It's nervous stress and exhaustion. So yeah, so that was grand. So that passed by. And we had an interview to do as well. That didn't pan out. But maybe we can talk about that a little later in the day.
Yeah.
It was disappointing.
We got jimmied again.
Yeah.
It hurts, man. It really hurts.
I'm not sure what happened. I know with Jimmy, why Jimmy does.
It was obvious. Like he listened to our show and realized what kind of people we are.
But I don't know. I think we're rather fair, even-minded, pleasant. We would have given Jimmy a fair shake. But with this guest, I'm not even sure he would have bothered to look or listen or. Do you have any insight into why the cancellation? Is he a big pussy? I wouldn't get that impression now that, you know, this particular person was a.
Yeah, he doesn't have ideas about himself, you know? Like, on a certain level, because he's, you know, clearly, like, on the fringes of human experience. But he's not, like, you know, this, like, obnoxious guy or anything. He's plainly who he is, and he doesn't seem to give two fucks about what people think about him. So I don't know. I don't think it's that a case. I think he just got a little on edge about the whole thing. Yeah, he has, the way it's been explained to me, and he even explained this himself, that on one side of his, like, say, 60% of his subscribers, they're pro him, and they would, you know, thank him for his thoughts and, you know, follow him and, you know, basically cheer him on. But then you have the 40% who just hate listening to him, just to hear him say something stupid or wrong and then rub that in his face. And yeah, I know how that goes, because I have many of them on YouTube. When I do post videos, I get that kind of attention, where all sorts of horrible shit is said to me. So I can imagine that he's a little on edge, where he's thinking, are these guys gonna make a fool out of me? Did they have some kind of angle here? Yeah, I don't know.
Do we?
That's a fair question, to be honest, because, I don't know. I guess I have a bit of an angle, like, not to burlesque him, you know, but, like, just try to figure out what's the inner mechanics of that. Maybe some mechanics I don't really want to know about, because I think there's some kind of role play involved as well, where he says absurd things like, that he is a Rothschild supremacist.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a joke or not, and I don't think it helps to know.
Okay.
It's, you know.
Yeah, I haven't looked into it deeply, or even shallowly for that matter. But I know very little about him at all. I just did a quick... it's so odd, like, that I'm even talking about somebody who I know absolutely fucking nothing about. Just so happens to post on YouTube. I don't know, it was kind of recommended to you, this guy, wasn't it? So that one of the our friends listens to him or came across him. Well, yeah. Was it through the National Party, was it? Is that where the kind of link up is it?
No. It's more like outside of the National Party, there's just a general nationalistic movement in Ireland.
Hmm.
And this guy had, well, he has an ongoing kind of spat with a YouTuber by the name of Keith Woods.
Hmm.
This 20-something whippersnapper who is, you know, blatantly a Marxist and just uses big philosophical words to convince himself and other people that he knows what the fuck he's talking about. And, you know, 20-somethings, they have it all figured out. Nobody can tell them anything new. They haven't really had any life experiences that are, like, worth, you know, say, putting in a book or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... when you put one of those guys up on a pedestal like YouTube, you know, I don't know, fucking a few thousand subscribers, whatever Keith Woods has, you know, you get a big head about you and, you know, people saying nice things about you because you use all these big words and you kind of make sense. You know, it's like listening to the ramblings of a madman. Like, if you really want to find a pattern in there, you will. And you'll, you know, discover that he's really actually an incarnation of the Buddha or something, you know. And that's how it is with Keith Woods.
Okay, and what's there's some sort of beef between Keith Woods and this guy, is it? Or...
Yeah, and you know, I'm not even entirely sure whether Keith Woods acknowledges him because of the disparity of popularity.
All right, okay, okay.
You know, why would a big channel acknowledge the existence of a smaller channel?
I don't know. It's all very fucking bizarre.
This is the internet, man. It's how it always was. Fuck. You know.
Yeah, I just think with the advent of visual stream, it just seems more bizarre to me. Granted, if it's in a forum of text, I think anyone's really paying that much attention. But when somebody puts their image to it, it all seems very real or bizarre or a mixture of the two. So I did some research on our. I'm not going to call him a failed guest because I think that it may actually happen. What I did research was the first thing that came up was his interaction with the National Party, where he was interviewed by the National Party's leader's wife, Rebecca.
Becky, our favorite girl.
Becky, yeah. And so apparently they were talking about... actually, do you know what I'll do? I'll find the article because that would probably... make it a bit easier to understand. Now, there's a trigger warning. So the article is from the Far Right Observatory. So so maybe a little bit biased. So National Party propagandist discusses torturing and executing children. So it's a attention grabbing headline. If ever there was.
And clearly hyperbole, you know, if someone actually did say that, it would be on more than just this obscure little website. It would be in the Irish Times or something.
Yeah, maybe, but again, it could be down to the size of the audience, so it's not much of a threat if it's a small channel, but if it's a big channel. But I don't fucking know. It's all fairly bizarre. So we have Rebecca Barrett, apparently was in conversation with somebody else called Critiqued. That's their internet name. Paul O'Neill.
Spatiqued.
Yeah. Say again?
Spatiqued. Sorry, I'm making a in joke in the scene. Sorry.
All right. So a prominent propagandist for the far-right National Party has been discussing the merits of publicly torturing and murdering young girls as part of a far-right run society. In a video entitled Critique Discusses Hedonism and Degeneracy, hosted by Thomas Baden Rees, both men talked about publicly executing teenagers, with National Party member O'Neill wondering out loud if it would be acceptable to people living in Ireland. The video was posted on the 21st of March this year on the Alt Tech Odyssey platform. So it goes on for there. I'm not going to read further. That's pretty much the length and breadth of it. They don't provide a link to
the
conversation. So one would have to go and look on Odyssey. And not even
a direct quote, you know, that... It's just, I don't know. It sounds like something that was completely taken in the wrong way. Just complete distortion of an ordinary conversation.
Yeah, so it's completely stripped of context. Then the article, there's a couple of photos as well. So the typical one, a bunch of Irish guys outside of Google headquarters. With Irish tricolours, and there's a Nazi salute. We have a guy raising a Nazi salute, or he could be looking for a taxi. I don't know. You're part of the scene, are you, or is this?
I'm a known figure that has commented on Irish nationalism.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that I'm a part of the scene, no.
Sure, okay. I don't know much about the scene. Judging by these people in the National Party, I would say it's pretty safe bet that nobody's going to vote for them. They're just fucking...
they seem never.
Unelectable. It's like they've stepped out of the 1950s.
Even their own families wouldn't vote for them. That's how fucking horrible and nasty and directionless this party is.
So I'm not sure what our guest. You said he's just part of the kind of the outer orbit of this particular scene. Is it? Or?
It's really hard to put a definition on this whole thing because, you know, this is how political opponents kind of massage facts and get people through guilt by association, because there's some tangential link of this guy talked to that guy, talked to that guy, and then talked to that guy. So this guy... four steps removed must be a Nazi because, you know, somewhere along the lines, you know, these people with fringe beliefs eventually at some point spoke to a Nazi. So, you know, it's all kind of an ongoing conversation between a loose web of people. And yeah, it's are you hearing audio interference?
No.
Okay, it sounds like a back in the old days, phones interfered with TV and radio.
Okay.
And things like that.
Yeah. Let me make sure my phone is off. Okay, can you still hear it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would place Thomas... Oh, I said his name. no, fuck it, okay. I would place Thomas as, more of a conspiracy theorist like us, you know? Okay. Just kind of looking at things. Only he believes the Rothschilds run the world, and he would like a seat at their table. That's...
That's worrying. How does that work? Well, yeah, because you like that's deeply. That's like people just sell their fucking souls. Like, you know, it's like, oh well, you know, as long as I'm. But I don't know. We need to talk to him. Like, but I suppose. What's the deal? So he thinks the Rothschilds are running the world for the benefit of all of humanity. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I
can't speak for him, but I mean the going assumption is that they're running the world for the benefit of themselves and the others in their little worldwide mafia.
Okay, and so he wants in. So
he just wants in.
Okay, and so are we going with the conspiratorial view here that we're still talking about culling, like, you know, mass amounts of people, like we're up in the 90-95% range here, like I don't know, because he's not fucking here, so you can't ask unless he's actually here. But the little bit I have watched, he seems like he wouldn't bat an eyelid if the underclass was to, you know, I don't know, just explode,
erased.
You know, he wouldn't, but like, he wouldn't bat an eyelid, like, well you know, sure, it'll just make his daily commute a little easier, not having to look at the filth that is the underclass. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see where that view comes from. I'm sure he was probably jilted by a member of the underclass at some stage. But again, I know nothing of him. And this is why it's so bizarre, because I know nothing of this guy other than a couple of YouTube videos. And I'm as guilty of it as well. So, you know, a lot of things are just said for shock effect. But there does seem to be an appetite out there for people to buy into that kind of ideology. It just worries me that people would probably, if he got a call from the Rothschilds and, you know, they wanted to take a break on a Saturday, so they'd give him a call, because they can't work on the Sabbath, and ask him, you know, if
to be their Sabbath
boy. If you wouldn't mind killing the underclass of a Saturday, where we just can't, and time is running out. So if you could be so kind, and then I don't know, maybe they could give him a grant to pursue his. His PhD or his who knows? I don't know. I found it bizarre because I looked at Kiwi Farms. There was a bit of a spat on Kiwi Farms, which I think was him just trolling people. But what kind of struck me was he is kind of Jewish looking, you know. He does have that kind of how do I put it gently. Yeah, it looks kind of Jewish. I don't have any real problem with Jews.
No.
But yeah, so I want to talk to him now. Look, he's piqued my interest. But I still have no real idea about the guy. I don't know how many people listen to him. Yeah, he comes across as a little bit fascist. But I think you mentioned that to him. But he said he was quite shocked to have somebody put that to him. And I just want to know what the end goal is here. Like, so anybody really who's kind of interested in killing large amounts of people, or, and I don't know if he is actually interested, but he just strikes me as the kind of guy who would happily wipe out half of humanity if as long as he's on the ark and running the show, because he did fancy himself as a bit of a stand-in leader, from what I caught from one of the videos. So there does
seem to be emergency leadership.
Yeah, there does. This sort of resentment that somehow he's been looked over, because he saw himself as more intelligent than the vast majority of people. And if it wasn't...
I mean, he may not be actually wrong about that. You know, so sometimes resentment is earned, you know, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, but I'd like to know on what basis. So I think it's pure, I think it was just around IQ. And I think he mentioned something as well that no intelligent person could do evil. So I'd like to talk about that.
Okay. Hello, Google. Yeah. All right. That's, yeah, I don't know. I'll have to hear that one to believe it, man. That's a pretty far out statement to make. But you can get why I maybe said, you know, I want to, you know, well, saying to him, you know, it's great to talk to someone on air who self-identifies as a fascist, because, you know, they did, you know, mention fascism as it's okay, just, you know, him and his friend, I mean, on a few streams mentioned fascism as just another way of organizing society. And when, you know, you describe how he sees himself and how he sees intelligent people, it kind of sounds like, and I hear this from him himself, that there should be an intelligent group of people leading society. And that kind of sounds like fascism to me,
yeah,
you know?
It's fucking Plato again. It's the curse of Plato and the Republic. Like, it's just, it's fucking awful. Like, it just needs to be pointed out. It's like, come on. Like, Jesus fucking Christ. Sorry, I'm tired. I'm so fucking tired. Like, I'm really fucking tired. I'm so tired I could probably kill a vast amount of people. Yeah, so, okay, so it's Thomas. I hope we get to talk to Thomas. Because what struck me above all that, and I'm just being grumpy, was his honesty, which is refreshing. Let's put it that way. I don't know if it's a shtick, as the Jews say, but he was, I think he was a comedian, wasn't he? He had a show on the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh. I think he's written a couple of books, which I thought was interesting. So again, given that it's the internet and we can never really tell if somebody is, you know, presenting as themselves or a caricature of themselves. So it was mentioned in one of the forums that he had a conviction for stalking. And then I think he's self-published a couple of books, and one of them is about a stalker, a kind of a spy.
Intelligent spy, yeah.
Licensed to stalk.
Intelligence guy, yeah.
The true story of the war on terror by a secret agent.
So he was just doing research, basically, for his book by stalking, what was it, a BBC reporter or something?
Something like that, yeah. it says the book was banned on its original publication in the UK.
I'm sorry, what? What was banned?
The book. His book, yeah.
Was banned.
Licensed to Stalk.
Wow.
So banned on its original publication in the UK. This is the book that authorities don't want you to know about. Secret Agent X is one of the new breed of spy, specifically trained to combat... Oh, hang on, I have to click the read more button. one of the new breed of spy specifically trained to combat the war on terror. Granted special criminal immunity, he has a license to do whatever the hell he wants in order to file terrorist bomb plots. So evolves a complex story in which we follow the secret agent as he delves into the murky underworld of the terror network, all the while transgressing laws and social norms and engaging in what can only be described as the stalking of ordinary members of the public. A skilled stalker and housebreaker, he reveals his tricks of the trade in a fascinating series of voyeuristic tales, entering the houses of chavs, gays, and the middle classes, amongst others. Concealing himself and watching what the occupants get up to, which a lot of the time, much to his distaste, involves scenes of a sexual nature. ostensibly a spy narrative, this book is really a comedy as the narrator, X, cleverly reveals how all of this behavior could so easily be seen as that of a pervert, stalker, and lunatic. Indeed, X is accused throughout the book of being a knicker thief and must face several accusations of sexual assault whilst battling all the while to come to terms with the sexual shenanigans of those he is spying on. Okay. So I hope he's a fucking comedian. That would be great. If he was. If he's not, it's probably just as hilarious and fascinating. But yeah, so we'll see if his, you know, his honesty, like I said, was striking. He was kind of flagellating. But I don't know. I don't know people anymore. I'm fucking, I don't know. Maybe he's a perfect match for me. So maybe I'll expose more about myself, really, when I'm talking to him, which is probably what will happen. Tends to happen with most things. But I tell you this, I ain't writing a fucking book, put it that way. I wonder how much of this is of himself, how much of himself he's put into this particular book.
Did he break into people's houses just to watch them? And
I don't know.
Steal knickers off of the clothesline at the back of houses?
Maybe. Sounds like fun to me.
Sounds great fun.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of gay references as well. Now, I know I said I frequent a lot of men's toilets on my travels, so maybe this could be my doppelganger, you know. I think you know what you're doing here by trying to get this guy on. We follow X as he goes undercover on various dangerous missions as a gay into a gay bar, as a sandwich board man denouncing the world we live in, and as a burqa-wearing Muslim woman. In the final conclusion of the book, the secret agent heads to London to combat the terror threat, only to be caught up with the most terrifying of circumstances, to which he heroically responds. Not without its serious points, License to Stalk is a barnstorming, action-packed comedy romp. And in Secret Agent X, Thomas Baden has spawned a character so mad and deluded, and yet so lovable and endearing, as to wear in him Secret Agent X a place as one of literature's great comic revelations. Okay.
Wow, high praise there.
Yeah, I wonder if he wrote that. Yeah, so...
You gotta talk yourself
of
up.
Of course
you
do.
Know?
I'm just being a cunt, yeah. That's all. And then he's I think he's two or three other books. I've known, so, you know, it's hardly surprising.
And you don't have a banned book, so...
No.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see who banned it. I don't know, maybe he went to the local fucking equivalent of Easons and said, here, would you stock them for me? And they said no. And he took that as I don't fucking know, man. I don't even know who published this fucking stuff. It's only like a Kindle book. Then that was a follow-up with Diary of a Toilet Goer. So that's worrying now, because that's my shtick there. Like, you know, there's my idea for my fucking my book gone right out the window or down the toilet, so to speak. I'll have to make it a fucking video diary now. Or maybe that's our documentary, The Toilets of Ireland.
yes, let's do it.
Wow. If you're listening, Thomas, I'm sorry, I'm a cunt.
Me too.
There's no two ways around it. But I don't know where our conversation would go. I think the most important thing is that you seem honest. And I think it'll be interesting from my point of view, because that's really what kind of matters to me. It's a rare fucking thing in a person. Maybe foolish. I haven't found honesty to be really worth much. It tends to get you into a lot of fucking trouble. But we'll see. And I should do more research on Thomas, and it'd be interesting to see what he has to say about the Rothschilds. Because I find that kind of interesting, that most people would happily be a Nazi. given the opportunity. But it just seems strange to kind of petition. Like, where, you know, I'd like, dear Jim, I'll fix it. I would like to be a Nazi. Could you please make it possible for me to join the Rothschilds? I understand they're quite busy and get tired of a Saturday. I am available at short notice. I will need to give some notice that I won't be available to work on Saturdays from here on in. Yeah, so I don't know. I just like to know, like, so if this guy, and again, I'm sorry, Thomas, I don't know you, and, you know, I'm projecting everything I don't like about certain types of people onto you, which is really myself. But if he got into power, what do these guys fucking do, you know? It's like, I don't see it going well. Let's put it that way. I really fucking don't. So I think there should be some sort of test before you go into a leadership position. That should be a little bit stricter than, I know one of the Rothschilds, or the Rothschilds have given me the DOK, and I'm going to now run the country. Because it seemed a bit bizarre. They're supposed to come to power in September 2022 or something like that. It seems there seems to be some Notre Dame's prophecy sprinkled in there.
Fuck's sake. Don't bring up Nostradamus on this show, man. Jesus.
Why not?
You want to get us pegged as fucking lunatics.
Well, we are lunatics. It's okay. No, we're not. Are we?
The amount of times that Nostradamus's predictions have suddenly come true after the fact. I mean, like, there's thousands of them, you know? And of the same quatrains, you know? Like, oh, this sounds like the cathedral in Notre Dame burning.
I know, yeah.
Jesus,
I know.
Christ.
It's so obscure. Yeah, I did many years ago try to follow his ritual for seeing into the future. That was fun.
There's a ritual.
Yeah, okay. I frightened the shit out of myself, like, so.
We have to hear this.
I was upstairs in my old house, so I had a tripod and a bowl of water, and I was following this apparent ritual that he carried out so he could see into the future. And so I'd taken the hem of the coat I was wearing, dipped it in the water, and was carrying on. And then so the room kind of got, you know, a couple of degrees colder. I felt the presence, and then I kind of got freaked out a little bit. And then I walked away and began to walk down the stairs, and then I heard somebody go, "Morgan." But it was a creak in the stairs, like, so fucking, whatever way that I stood on the stairs and it creaked, it sounded like someone was calling my name, and freaked me the fuck out. But yeah, I pussied out, like, so so I could have been the next Notre Dame, but I pussied out of it.
You wouldn't be the first, so
yeah.
Don't be hard on yourself. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully Thomas comes back to us. I don't know, is there anything you want to bring Thomas up on, or do you have a plan of attack, so to speak? Is there anything that's to the fore of your mind that you want to talk to Thomas about? Or do you feel, is he a fellow traveller for you? Like, is he, you know?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. You know, when it sounds like it, because he does, as much as you might say that, oh, is he playing a character or something, he does seem to genuinely believe that, you know, 9/11, that this supposed pandemic, you know, that there's, you know, layers and layers of bullshit behind it. And he does make a lot of solid points. Mm-hmm. But then he jimmied us. So I think for that, you know, it kind of puts a sour taste in my mouth, you know. I wouldn't call him a fellow traveler, not now, not yet, at least.
So, I can't imagine he's intimidated by either one of us, or both of us. if he is a conspiracy theorist, that comes with a general level of paranoia. I think that kind of goes without saying. How you could be human and not be paranoid in some shape or form is a mystery to me anyway. But if you roam in those circles, you're bound to have a level of paranoia about you. So maybe that's it. Maybe, you know, everybody thinks everybody else is an agent, or, and if you're immersing yourself in that, and if it's present in his literature as well, I don't know, maybe he got spooked, like, you know, who the fuck is these guys?
Out of nowhere.
What's this software about? Yeah. And, you know, why? What do you want me to do with this? And
Okay, you know what? You bring up a good point, because I really need to, like, start taking better care of my mental health, because I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts, and usually before bed, which is not good, not good. Also watching a spy thriller kind of comedy TV show, Burn Notice, at least one episode a day. Now I think, like, around every corner is a murderer, because, you know, regular people can just flip and then murder their whole families and then commit suicide or some shit, or, you know, everyone has an ulterior motive, you know, it's a very cynical outlook. Or maybe that's what I needed to do. I just needed to immerse myself so deeply in this terrible shit for me to kind of perk up and realize, holy crap, I'm not who I want to be. I'm this deeply cynical, tired person who needs to, you know, believe in something, you know, and then to have a bit of levity. I can kind of see how, you might be a bit spooked.
Yeah, maybe, or just better things to do. Who fucking knows? But he did come back, I think, didn't he, and say that he would be happy to do.
Yeah, he wants me on his show.
Okay. Well. You know, that's a good thing. So maybe it's a control thing then. Maybe he just prefers to be on top.
Yeah, control the situation. Yeah, be on top. Maybe he does.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see what comes of it. You keep mentioning there about murdering families and shit. Do you want to tell us something? I think you've mentioned it three times since the start of the show.
Oh, for fuck's sake, why do you always do this, man?
What?
Look. No, it's just, you know, like, after a while of hearing stories of people doing fucked up shit to each other, you can kind of get it stuck in your head that, that people are, like, mostly horrible monsters, and that at any moment they could just flip and do something terrible. I don't think I would do that. I don't have the personality that thinks that somehow my circumstances in life are somebody else's problem, because I think that's what it comes down to, is, you know, thinking that the world has done wrong by you, and then you fucking go nuts and do terrible things to others. I don't have that in me. But, you know, it pays. I mean, you consider the dark side of humanity as well, you know, when it comes to this problem with certain people running our country and even the world. That they might have to be dealt with in a certain way. And, you know.
Absolutely.
I think, we all have that in us. And where's the line, and where does that become acceptable, you know?
I think the line would be a lot closer if we actually had the weaponry to fucking to do it, you know. But enough about me. I don't like to talk about me. Yeah, but I think with the true crime thing, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. And it's not just about true crime, it's about all crime. Just the reporting of crime is ridiculous compared to the actual amount of crime. So it's, yeah. Especially the last 20 years, I think nearly all crimes have gone down dramatically. However, the reporting of crime has gone up exponentially. And that's a relatively new thing as well, the true crime podcasts, which are fucking massively popular, aren't they? Aren't they like hugely popular?
Oh, yeah,
popular?
Yeah. If you could, call them an industry, which they are, you're talking about possibly in the millions, tens of millions in collective revenue.
Okay, doesn't there have to be like a limit where, say, you're doing true crime podcasts for maybe 3 or 4 years and then it's just, okay, we've covered fucking everything.
No. If you do one story a week, like, there's no end to it.
But is it all interesting? So I don't listen to them. So I watched a couple of documentaries. Then after 4 or 5, it seems like, oh, for fuck's sake, it's the same story with different people. And I want it to be more and more sensational each time, otherwise, it becomes dull.
You lose interest.
So or is it just that there's a wealth of fucking morbid material out there?
There's a lot of different kind of ways to be fucked up, I'm listening currently to Sword and Scale, and that's a very good true crime podcast. And I want to, do what I can to support that guy in my own way, even though he's, making more money than I'll ever make in my lifetime. He is not one of these people who comes out and complains about the patriarchy or something. He's actually quite anti that bullshit. So it's good to have a guy in our corner talking to mainly women, because that's who's interested in true crime, at least these days. He has a way of telling a story, and it's the storytelling that gets you, I think. And there comes a point where, you've told all the more interesting stories of, these, really high profile serial killers and then cult leaders or, spouses who murder their wives or husbands or what have you. And you run out of the variation of things. But as a listener, you yourself have this kind of morbid addiction to hearing about these things, like I do currently. And it's like, I'm bored. I need to be in bed for a certain period of time before I can actually sleep in it. That's just me. So why not switch on another episode of Sword and Scale? And I can't help myself. It's like heroin or booze, It's like, I know this hurts me and I know it makes my life worse, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay. And is it affecting your sleeping life? Are your dreams fucked up?
No, actually. My dreams are just actually perfectly fine. In the way that a mystic who's into Carl Jung and Aleister Crowley and stuff can have normal dreams, the things from the unconscious bubble up and it's like, fuck you, look at that. Which is healthy, I think. But no, it's not full of fucking murderers horrible situations, which is a shock, really, because sometimes I do... I fall asleep with the podcast on and then I kind of wake up out of my dream and it's like this blood-curdling scream of a woman or something and these descriptions of these horrible situations.
Fucking hell. Wait until the implants come. You can't turn it off. It's just... I know, I just had this image that eventually the host would run out of material and then would have to become a serial killer himself, just so you would have something interesting to talk about on the podcast. Yeah, it has to be. Yeah, it has to be. Like, you know, like you always hear that story. You know, the fireman who ends up becoming a fucking pyromaniac. So maybe there's somebody out there, a modern serial killer, who's
a true crime podcaster.
Because I haven't heard of a modern, or at least a modern famous serial killer. They all seem to end in the 70s, or maybe that's just where I've stopped watching documentaries. But there seems to be a lull in the in serial killing. You know, it's not like it's not the way it was in the old days.
Well, I mean, okay. I mean, it's the same as, like, you know, there aren't really any famous bands, really. I mean, you know, you have just from the pop kind of genre, you know, you'll have Justin Bieber and all those other fools, terrible, horrible human beings. But no other genres are, like, famous, you know? There's, like, names a lot of people recognize, like Tool or, you know... I don't know. But it's the same with true crime, is that if you are interested in this kind of stuff, then you would know the offbeat guys that should be as famous as Jeffrey Dahmer or something. But it's the world is so saturated in media now that, you know, it's not like you had the one TV channel or something and the news came on and you had no choice to watch it because there wasn't anything on. So that's it.
Well, what if
there's still serial killers, still as terrible as Jeffrey Dahmer and all that, those guys.
Yeah, but I always thought, like, in the age of social media, that there'd be somebody, you know, recording the killings as they happen, or
that's Facebook Live.
Has that happened, really?
Oh yeah, look, oh my god, you would not believe the horrible things that go on Facebook Live. Like a guy murdered his mother.
Holy fuck.
On Facebook Live. Yeah, really bad choice, really. But then again, if you're murdering your mother, you know, you're not exactly making the best life decisions anyway.
Oh god. Oh fuck, now I've got a head full of that shit. Fucking hell.
That, you're welcome. Now you suffer with me.
I did ask. Shit. Wow. Yeah,
it's still out there, man. Yeah, you just don't hear about it.
There's no algorithm for that, no. the description doesn't pick up, you know. murdering my mother live in 10. fucking hell. Yeah, I'm sure it would get loads of views as well. People would be eagerly awaiting the next upload. Wouldn't they? They would, wouldn't they? Like, they'd have a massive fucking following. You know, hundreds of millions of subscribers just waiting for the next one to be uploaded. get some nice juicy advertising in there as well. You'd need an agent, I think. No, I don't think anyone would touch it. Maybe it will happen in the future. Have a chat with Thomas, see if he can make a novel out of it. Might be interesting.
Yeah, Thomas can totally grab that idea and run with it. It would be in his wheelhouse, I'm sure. But then, oh fuck, maybe he might actually go out live streaming murders just to see.
But he could stalk, like, bring in the stalking angle. So that would be interesting, just the heightened suspense of him crawling around the back of somebody's house in through the window. Up the stairs into the bedroom, into the knicker drawer. I don't know. Maybe pulls the panties over his head. Doesn't want to catch COVID or spread it. And while he's in the house, he's forgotten his mask. I don't fucking know.
What the fuck, man? No, that'd be a great idea. You know, target someone in particular, stalk them, and then live stream them at random points in the day without them knowing. Just this one person being stalked live on Facebook. Yeah,
that's terrifying. Now I'm paranoid.
That's a great idea.
Now I'm going to be looking over my fucking shoulder all the fucking time. You can't drive yet, can you?
Luckily for you, no.
All right, yeah, okay. Okay, let's move swiftly on. Now that I'm freaked out. I'll be fucking looking in my rearview mirror everywhere I drive now as well.
You should be looking in your rearview mirror. What are you doing?
Looking ahead. But I do, but if you look in your rearview mirror, I love this. Now getting driving instructions from you because you're suddenly novice. A driver. How's that going anyway? All good? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Great. Oh, my God. You know that feeling when you're just locked in? You know how to handle the gears and clutch and steering. You know, I'm not, you know, I wouldn't enter a rally race just yet. But I have this feeling. Oh, my God. If you're like folks out there, if you're driving a car, you're American and you're driving automatic, would you fucking stop it? You may as well just cut off your balls, start wearing a dress and flowers in your hair because you're a fucking sissy, right? It's not that hard. A few days, that's all you need to figure out how to manage this system, and you actually feel like you're interacting with an engine. You're not just, well, I put down the pedal and I go forward. That's what I am getting a high off of. I actually locked that in today when I was in my lesson. I just felt like, yeah, you know, I can, you know, talk to the person giving me my lessons. I can, you know, just relax, like literally, you know, my shoulder up, my elbow up on the window and just kind of chill out while I try my maneuvers. It's such a, I feel like a god walking on earth. I don't know why I haven't done it, like, in all these years of being an adult. Like, I am embarrassed, really.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great feeling. Like, it's yeah, it's incredible. You're just one with the machine. Now I'm gonna just sound like a fucking Joe Rogan here. You've merged with the machine. No, but it is. It's a great feeling, and especially when the actual driving, when all the muscle memory kicks in, and you're no longer conscious about everything you're doing, clutch in, clutch out, into second. It's just different. Are you getting lessons from a professional, or is it
member of my family?
Before I did my driving test, I got lessons from a professional. It's just fucking awful. Like, so I was just massively nervous, trying to impress them as well. You know, it's like, oh, and you guys, they know straight away. They're like, listen, just fucking relax. Drive how you normally drive. You know, I'm not testing you. I just want to see how you normally drive. And I did that once on a motorbike as well, but a motorbike cop, he was running a safety program. He told me to drive like I normally drive on the motorbike, and we had an interesting chat afterwards. Like, so I destroyed the road. Like, I was undertaking cars, overtaking cars, speeding. And you know, I said, you haven't passed this time. I said, all right, fair enough. Like, proceeded to give me a fucking lecture about my horrible motorcycle riding. Yeah, but it's good. It's good you can do that. Just stay away from the southwest of the country. No stalking. I want a public declaration now that you will not stalk me.
Well, you know, if you go to the court and ask for a protection order, I won't contest it.
Yeah, I'm not going near no court. Fuck that. Yeah, no chance. I'll put up with the stalking. It's actually quite a compliment, I think, really, to be stalked. I've only been stalked once. I've only been stalked once in my life. It wasn't fun. It was an ex-girlfriend for maybe 2 months. She would just show up out of the blue. You know, you're going to the cinema. You walk outside and there she is, and would start to hurl abuse at the girl.
One of those.
Yeah, at the girl I was with. She was convinced I was, it was understandable because she kind of thought I was having an affair with a particular woman who I was friends with, but I wasn't. But when I broke up with her, I did end up, you know, having an affair.
Yeah.
And then she goes, I fucking knew it! And then for 2 months proceeded to appear everywhere I fucking went and give the woman I was with dogs abuse. Even to the extent that she showed up at this woman's parents' house as well while we were having a family get-together and
start
screaming abuse at her about how she'd stolen me away from her. So yeah, that was great fucking fun. Because for me it was great, like, this is fucking fantastic, like, this is a great boost to my ego. Sorry, you know, could you speak up a little bit? There's a really good looking woman two doors down, can't hear you, tell her how fucking magnificent I am. It's driven you to such an extent here that you're willing to embarrass yourself publicly because I am just so magnificent and you miss me so much that you're willing to make a public spectacle of yourself. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I feel like less of a man now having heard this story. Jesus. Damn, how big is that dick?
You haven't seen the girl, let's put it that way. So, like, you know. let's see. If you were to pick her in a lineup at the brothel, the name above the brothel would be Willy Eyes Brothel. That kind of... Sorry, Willy, if you're out there. I hope you're doing well. Nothing to do with the dick. Just to do with the state of the woman. This was her one chance to have any semblance of a half-normal man.
What the fuck were you thinking, man?
I don't know. Loneliness will do terrible things to a man. I do have a huge dick, which is, you know, by the by, but it had nothing to do with the stalking incident
situation.
I think she was a virgin, actually. Was she a virgin? Yeah, I think she was a virgin. Yeah, I'm trying to think back to the sheets. Did she bleed on the sheets? Or was that after I punched her in the face? There was blood on the blood on the pillow and in the center of the bed, so it was a good night all around. See, Thomas, I told you. Honestly, it's fucking terrible. No good can come of it. No good can come of it. And I'm sure I know.
Not your brand of honesty.
No. And in an even more obscure podcast somewhere else, somebody is ripping this shit out of me for being a retard. So it's all good, you know.
Trickle down.
There you go. Reaganomics or retardonomics. There we go. Okay. Right. I think we were moving swiftly on, weren't we, from the stalking, and I dragged us back into it.
So what about those Australians, huh?
Yeah. Moving on again. I don't know what's happened to Australia. The problem here again, much like Thomas and much like most things in general, I don't know a lot. I don't know a lot about Australia. It's not somewhere I've ever really wanted to go. They're not really people I've ever really wanted to talk to. I find the accent incredibly fucking irritating. Almost as irritating as a New Zealand accent. But what's fascinating is that their country seems to have turned into a totalitarian shithole. Now, maybe it's always been like that, but recently with COVID, they seem to be going full fucking tilt. Is it Australia where they're locking people down, where one person has COVID and they're locking down the whole state?
That would be New Zealand. Okay. And, well, actually, no, both. Yeah,
okay.
New Zealand and Australia.
Right. So have you any idea what the fuck is going on? It seems, well, it's not strange, but I think it's ripe. Australia seems ripe for anybody who adheres to the woke ideology. It's perfect. You know, you have an Aboriginal culture who apparently they appear in Australia, like, what's 50,000 years ago, by all accounts. How they figured out, I don't know, maybe they carbon dated a fucking didgeridoo or something and found out it's 50,000 years old, you know. So the Aboriginals are there for 50,000 years. So they've gone to the height of their civilization, which is a boomerang and a didgeridoo and a bit of white paint and an appetite for large grubs. And then nothing happens for the next 49,000 years. And then the Dutch sail by, fucking Dutch, you know. Then they're followed by the Spanish, and then of course the English take note, and they decide, okay, that looks fucking interesting. A couple of darkies there, yes, shouldn't pose much of a problem to take over this land. Let's have a meeting. Yep, okay, penal colony. Off they go in their little boats. This is a beautiful history lesson, by the way. The little boats to Australia, and turned it into a penal colony, which many of our probably distant relatives would have went there for failing to take a knee to the local landlord. Yeah, but then Australia becomes, it's just not a republic. So they gain some level of independence and that's only like, you know, 230 odd years ago, which is quite recent, really, when you think of it, you know. And so then in 1960, in around the 60s, the Australians decide to give the Aborigines a vote. Which is nice of them, you know. They're there. I think they gave women the vote in the 1900s. So that was probably the fatal mistake right fucking there. Like, so they decided to give women the vote. I think it was 1901, and then 60 years later, they decided to let the Aborigines have a vote.
Slippery slopes, man. Yeah. The slope is always slippery.
So then. Again, I think it was around the 80s, the white guilt starts to kick in, and they start to, okay, well, you know, maybe, just maybe, we didn't treat the Aborigines as we should have, or at least our ancestors didn't. And then I think they gave back some of their land, and I imagine in the days we live in now, if the neo-Marxists got a hold of the Aborigines and they had a little meeting, and they're going, okay, listen, here's what we're going to do, right? There's this virus, and we can use that as an excuse where we get the power and you get all your land back and you can eat as many of the wriggly grubs as you want. Is that a deal? And then they said, yeah, fair deal. Fair dinkum, as the Australians would say. And now we have it. Australia is a totalitarian shithole. So case closed. Put that on a true crime fucking episode. I don't know what's happening in Australia. But it's very worrying. They seem like, it does seem that Afghanistan is a much freer place than current day Australia and New Zealand. Granted, it was a penal colony, so that's got to be firmly rooted in their DNA. They seem to, like, adopt to water.
It's going to leave a mark.
Yeah, and again, dependent on your ancestry as well. So, you know, not everybody was a criminal. You can't just ship a load of criminals off. Somebody has to look after them. Somebody has to be the prison guard and the prison warden. There seems to be a lot of that in this country as well. People seem to take that like ducks to fucking water, and they seem to love it. There's almost, people seem to relish it. I don't know. What's your take on Australia? Do you have any great insight into it?
Well, you know, I really liked what Kaya from the official podcast had to say about it on Who's Right. Kaya's a Turkish expat podcaster, and his reaction was, yeah, okay, fair play to them. Whatever, they deserve it. Fuck them. And that's my attitude as well at this point. Like, I know there's actually a pushback. The people are pissed off, not just over the recent, and we should get into the details of that, by the way, the recent absolutely draconian, like, unprecedented, horrible laws in a modern Western, they're not Western, but you know what I mean, democracy. Before then, just for the lockdowns, because they had horrific lockdowns over there. They have the zero COVID policy. And yeah, that's, you know, even though there's a pushback for that, my attitude is, yeah, well, you know, you were fucking, you know, in a penal colony, that's what your ancestors are there for, so fuck you. I mean, you must love it, you know, to go away, you know, you have that little fascist enclave to yourself, just leave us out of it. Yeah, but there's a lot of factors though, beyond the obvious, you know, taking the piss. I think there's something to that whole thing of giving the land back to the Aborigines, because, you know, they're kind of locking people into their towns. You know, they're restricting movement. Ever since the late 90s, I believe, you know, they had a kind of a Columbine incident. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy, I think he holed himself up, you know, in his on his land and shot a bunch of cops. I don't know, something along those lines where it was on TV, everyone knew about it, everyone was talking about it, and the government came out and said, well, you know what we need to do? We need absolutely insanely strong gun laws. And ever since then, the gun ownership of Australia has sank. You know, since then, every year it just goes down and down and down. So they're, you know, disarming the population. Which is kind of scary because they're right beside China, and China is either deliberately or just by causality of, you know, well, it's fucking shithole China. They're sending over Chinese to just colonize Australia, basically. Much like what was at risk in Southeast Russia. Which is desolate landscape. So you have that. You also have the fact that if you look at anywhere there's a hot climate, you tend to see fascistic control. You know, Florida, for instance, that's just, you know, they're very, you know, sticking the middle finger up to Biden these days because they don't want any of his fucking COVID bullshit. But generally, you know, it's not uncommon to see military police out in the streets, you know, locking down neighborhoods like fucking decades ago, you know. So whenever you have, hot climate, rich resources, you're going to have a very totalitarian state surveilling everyone, keeping, you know, order. And I think either they're just going to completely capitulate to China and say, okay, take the whole country then, or they're going to mount some serious fucking war.
Yeah, well, I...
You know, probably start World War III.
Yeah, I read today the Australian government, they've signed an agreement with the US government for purchase of Patriot missiles. And Australia and the UK, they've just signed off on a deal for nuclear-powered submarines. So it seems like they're going to put up some level of a fight. Anyway, so I doubt they would capitulate with China. And of course, our lords and masters in the EU are talking about a joint European strike force now again, since the United States has pulled out of Afghanistan. So that should be nice. We'll see how the Irish Army reacts to that one, which I think are bleeding people at the moment as well. I think like 800 people left in the last year unknown reason. Yeah, probably because it's a shithole within the ranks, I would imagine.
Yeah. Also, I'm pretty sure that like they're paid less than the average dole recipient. So
I wouldn't be fucking surprised. And yeah, they seem to be focusing on the gender imbalance within the forces as well. At least the outgoing commander had some level of interest in that. That was his proudest achievement, that he'd managed to redress the imbalance between men and women in our defense forces, because that's really what it's all about when you're coming to defend your nation. You want to make sure 50-50 split with men and women. Just like, because that's the way all armies are. It's about fairness and equality.
The big ones that conquered the world, you know, the Romans, the Greeks, the British, you know, in colonial times.
Fair play.
They always had loads of women.
It's fair play, like, so, you know, oh, well, they only have 6,000 strong defense force, two speedboats and a slingshot. So we're only going to, we'll send over the exact same armaments and we'll have a fair fight. No, I don't think that's how it pans out. But yeah, so I can't really say I care about Australia that much in reality. But it's still worrying that what we consider the Western world seems to be slowly becoming totalitarian.
Or swiftly in Australia's case, because this is emergency legislation, by the way. They, you know, passed this within like 2 fucking days or something. Shall we detail what's going on in this legislation? So it's a case of, will someone please think of the children? It's basically, what did they say? To fight child abuse material, terrorists, and copyright infringement. The idea behind this is to update the police powers in terms of their access to digital devices, because, you know, it's a new age where, you know, it's all digital pretty much now. So they are basically giving the police powers where if the police decide that you are possibly committing a crime that would satisfy the criteria for a warrant, they can act as if they already have that warrant. They can get into they can hack your devices through some kind of backdoor, or just, you know, brute force or what have you. They can log into your social media, and the powers that they have while in your devices and in your social media and possibly email and everything else is that they can add data, they can subtract data, and they can modify data. So potentially a cop can log into your social media and Yeah, who was it that said, you know, made a very good point, like, you know, a cop can log into your social media, go to your friends and say, hey, do you want to buy some cocaine? And, you know, they can basically create a crime out of thin air.
Yeah, it's absolutely fucking insane. Who proposed this fucking legislation? Is it one member of, or is it a party, or?
Yeah, you know, that's a question I didn't really look into, because I like I said earlier, I don't give a fuck about Australia. Yeah, yeah, but, sure, they did this thing.
Yeah, sorry, but I wouldn't be surprised if the same legislation shows up here next month. You know, let's face it, there's so much legislation, it's almost impossible to keep fucking track with what's coming down the line at any given time, and. Mm-hmm. It always worries me as well, like these politicians, like, they're supposed to just represent their constituents. I can't imagine their constituents are coming to them with, you know, listen, here's the biggest concern right now I have is, could you please legislate for potential, what was the reasoning for it when you said about think about the children? So it's the fight against pornography or something, is it? Or child pornography, or... What's the...
I never use that term unless I actually slip up and make a mistake, because there's no such thing as child pornography. It's abuse material, okay. Child abuse material. And yeah, that's ostensibly the reason for it. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think people are that worried really about it, where you'd have people knocking on a politician's door and say, listen, we need this massive amount of legislation to deal with this, and would then to go ahead and trust the cops and say, okay, well, if you think it's a crime, well, then I'm good with that. Like, there's a very good reason why that doesn't happen as things stand. And that's because the nature of being a cop is to assume that every motherfucker is guilty. Now, I know most people have never been confronted with a cop who thinks you have committed a crime, or are about to commit a crime, or are in the middle of committing a crime. They're not very fair-minded. Generally, they're suspicious by nature, mm-hmm. because they have to be, because that's their fucking job, is to detect crime and act upon it.
Yeah, and they see loads of it, so I think their vision of people is kind of selective, yeah. You know? So, yeah, everyone looks like a potential criminal, and yeah, okay, I can see how
that helps. There's a reason why cops have to go to the courts to get a warrant, because if that isn't there, the tendency would be to just go, yeah, fuck it, I think he's guilty, looks guilty to me. He's got a fucking turn in his left eye there, so that's a pure sign that he's a fucking predator, you know, or he's balding, or he walks with a limp. What's that smell emanating from him? Give me your phone there, Johnny, and like you said, I'll just put a post up here, get your friends list, investigate them. Now I think they're also guilty. You know, it beggars fucking belief. Has this passed? Has it passed?
It's a done deal.
Jesus fucking Christ.
It's a done deal. Yeah. Well, like, it all seems to be coming in lockstep, just in varying degrees of intensity around the world, you know, because people react to different things in different ways. Redundant sentence there, sorry. Like in Ireland now, what do we already have that legislation that says that if a cop asks for your password or your PIN or whatever, that you have to surrender it? This while, you know, there's a search going on in your home, I believe, or, you know, a warrant on your general person, that it's an extra crime to not surrender a
who
password.
Who fucking knows? I wouldn't be surprised. Sorry, carry on there.
Yeah. This is, like a month ago now. And then 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we have Apple have announced that they will be basically scanning people's files on their whatever cloud service for iPhone users, as well as files on your Apple phone or device. Because again, would someone please think of the children? And, you know, to answer your question about, like, I don't see someone coming and knocking on a politician's door to ask for this. I've mentioned a few times that, I follow groups on Facebook who are concerned with catching predators, and they do this in real life themselves, go out and confront them, call the cops on them. But one page in particular was celebrating this. As like, oh yes, they're protecting the children by absolutely violating privacy. And I was actually funny. Do you remember I was banned for supposedly bullying some white knight? I was furiously typing out a response in the comments, and I hit enter and it didn't go in. And I was like, what? I just happened to be banned like 20 minutes before I saw it. I was like, fuck you. Because it looks reasonable on the face of it. You know that old thing of like, well, if you have nothing to hide, then you have nothing to be afraid of. Excuse me, I do have something to hide. The Anarchist Cookbook, for example, I don't necessarily want the government knowing that I'm reading about how to undermine them or get the upper hand in a combat situation. You know, you just don't know what will fall under the heading of taboo material.
Yeah. Well, look, there's so many laws that the probability of the average citizen committing a crime is pretty fucking high at any given time. Almost all avenues of human existence can be viewed as illegal. Whether it's followed through or not, it doesn't even matter if it's followed through or not. It's obvious for what it is. Like, it's for enemies of the state. Well, you know, so we have something on people. That's all it fucking takes. Like, so say, we come to the attention of the authorities, or any group comes to the attention of the authorities that are viewed as a potential threat. What do they call them? People of interest, isn't it? Isn't that the lingo? This person is a person of interest. They're a potential threat, or even a potential threat. Okay, that's good enough for me. I'm convinced they're up to something nefarious. Okay, let's have a look at their mobile phone. Let's have a look at their PC. Let's have a look at their social media accounts and see what's going on there. And I'm sure the average, maybe not average isn't the right word, but the average fucking lunatic has posted some amount of shit in the past, where you could be probably done on 7 or 8 different fronts. But then it just makes a mockery of the whole of Western fucking civilization, of free speech. It means nothing. Absolutely fucking nothing. And they've showed their hand, like, so if people can't see it, well, then they're willingly fucking blind.
Really.
It just baffles us. People don't care, I think, because people think, oh, well, it's not good. It's not going to affect me. It's no bearing on me. I'm a fucking good person. I wouldn't do anything wrong ever. Until the eye falls on you and then someone thinks, well, you actually are doing something. What if the law tomorrow, you have to hop down the street on one foot? Would people just find it? Well, no, that's just a step too far. I'm not doing that's ridiculous. Or, the age of consent is lower to 12. Or, it's required to have sex with it with 12-year-olds. Or it's considered let's play it out. It's discrimination. If a homosexual approaches you and demands sex from you, it's now illegal to refuse sex. I know it's bizarre and ridiculous and a series of false dilemmas, but would you be surprised? Would you really be surprised if the crazy fox who seemed to be in control of the wheel at the minute? We have crazy fucking laws in Scotland where, 4-year-olds can choose their own gender. It seems to be these people who are infected, for lack of a better word, with fucking woke ideology. They're off their fucking heads. But they're in control of governments. It's fucking insane. And I suppose it shows up, well, that's all you really need is a certain level of determination and blind ideology. And you too can get yourself into fucking government and become an absolute fucking psychopath. But you could understand that if it was confined to maybe one jurisdiction. But it's fucking, it's everywhere, isn't it? It's not just me, but it is fucking, it seems every Western country or every democracy, this ideology is has come to the fore. And it's all political fucking parties, like, so it's bizarre. Like, it's not just confined to, you know, the Labour Party or... So it's in our country, it's the Labour Party, it's the Green Party, it's Fianna Fáil, it's Fianna Gael, it's Sinn Féin, it's fucking everywhere. And there is no opposition to it, is there? Not in this country that I can tell. There's just none.
The opposition, if they form a political party, at least in an Irish context, are fucking nutcases that nobody wants anything to do with. That's the sad thing about the situation.
So the legislation is probably there now that an opposition would probably be impossible, because to oppose it is to discriminate against it. So, you know, so it's like check fucking mate. Like, it's now illegal to oppose this legislation or the road we're traveling down.
We used to make fun of the banana republics for doing this, and now here we are.
Yeah, I suppose the only kind of bright spot is history isn't written yet, so that maybe we can have some impact on it. I don't fucking know. I don't know. I don't. Maybe I need to become a member of Fianna Fáil or Fianna Gael. No, I couldn't do that. Like, I just die of boredom.
Speaking of Scotland, I wanted to fucking name and shame Scotland as well in this. They have this law that if you are in possession of offensive memes, like on your phone or on your computer, you can go to jail for possession. And you could go to jail, get this, longer than a fucking pedophile would for the same amount of abuse images.
For a meme.
A meme, yes. Because it's illegal to offend people now. And it's now illegal to protest on the Parliament's grounds.
And who's in power in Scotland? It's the Scottish National...
The SNP, Scottish National Party.
That's why the Scottish people didn't vote for independence, because they know they're fucking useless pieces of shit. So they wouldn't dare be in control of their own destiny because of this. Fucking Christ, like... who leads that party?
Sturgeon, Nicola Sturgeon, a woman named after a fish.
Okay. What happened to Scotland? What happened, like, you know, fucking William Wallace, Robbie Burns, and now Nicola Sturgeon? Is this just the decay? Is this just the natural decay?
You know, it's self-imposed dysgenics, you know, like these people are chronic alcoholics. They've just slowly murdered off the, you know, more intelligent in their populations. And now, it's just like, I don't know, when I think of Scotland, I just think of, you know, impassable terrains with some sheep on it. And then on the other side, you just have, like, as far as the eye can see, just endless tenement blocks dotted with off licenses. That's my vision of Scotland.
Have you been?
No, I would love to, though. It really is actually a beautiful country.
Yeah, I've only been to Edinburgh, which is nice because you can actually understand what the natives are saying. Which is always useful. In my youth, I knew a couple of people from Glasgow. I think I knew one guy for the best part of 2 years. Didn't understand one fucking word he said. I used to just smile and laugh when he was talking to me, like, didn't have the heart to say it. Have the heart to say, I have no fucking clue what you're saying at all.
So painful.
Because
you're speaking the same language and you can't tell another English speaker, hey, I don't understand you. Because you're speaking funny. There's something wrong with you.
He was convinced we were great fucking friends. I knew nothing about him. Apart from the fact that he couldn't speak fucking English very well. And his nickname originally enough was Scotty. But Scotland, okay, so Scotland's gone.
It's a write-off,
Jesus fucking Christ. Are the Scottish National Party, are they still interested in independence? It doesn't matter, does it, really? They have what they want, which is power.
Ever since Brexit, it's been a big topic of like, oh my God, I can't believe you guys did that without our permission. Just leave the EU. We want to be in the EU. So there's now like this kind of, you know, it's not like they're not plastering the streets with let's get out of the UK. But I think it's a similar situation like the north of Ireland has, where every now and then, certain time frame, they can hold a referendum to see if they want to be an independent country.
Yeah. Christ, I can't imagine what people in Northern Ireland would vote for at the moment. Probably independence would probably be the best option for them.
I think, you know what? I think this wokeism, or, you know, I don't know what it is when it comes to, like, allegiance to the EU. I think it's just being a bitch. I think a lot of the Protestants would actually vote to join the Republic just to be in the EU, because it was, like, some kind of a majority anyway, something like 67% upwards in Northern Ireland that voted to remain in the EU. And I imagine a lot of those are Protestants, and a lot of those Protestants would have a gay Indian as a leader and be under the EU.
I didn't know where the fuck you were going for a moment. I'm like, what? Taking a weird fucking left turn here with the gay Indian. How does that work? Oh, yeah, now I see. Yeah, I imagine a lot of them are business owners as well, so they know where their fucking bread is buttered. It's not the Crown of England that they're loyal to. It's the old currency, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I'm not sure how they would integrate into the Republic, it doesn't really matter. That's quite apparent now, isn't it? Which is worrying as well, that people are now openly saying, we don't need a government. Well, what's the point, you know? Let's just have the technocrats run everything. I had that argument at work the other day. Mm-hmm. Someone put it to me. You just may as well. There's no point in having a government at all now. They can't do anything right, so we may as well just have the likes of Enfit run the show. So that's another.
Wow.
And then we spoke previously about that with Sean Moncrief, and that was his view as well. But it seems to be seeping into the general public now as well.
How much of a bitch do you have to be? I get it. Yeah, you've been demoralized with your own government, but have you ever, like, taken your head out of the sand and kind of looked around and saw, oh yeah, you know, these guys are taking the piss. I'm supposed to have this opinion.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So the people like it. So it seems weird. The odd men out, so to speak. You know. So the majority of people I know don't really have any issue with how the COVID problem is being managed. They seem to like strong leadership. They like being told what to do and where to go. There's an element of safety about it, that somebody's in charge, you know. Doesn't matter if that somebody is actually in charge, just the even the illusion of it is enough. It's comforting, you know, to think that there's some group of people out there who have a handle on things, that are keeping you safe.
Right. They're fascists, in other words.
But people do like it. So if the question comes back then, well, what do people like us do, or similar people who have an issue with it? Can we carve out a bit of land for ourselves? Do we need to engage in government? Can we overthrow it? I know. Are all the tools already there? And this leads back to when we spoke initially about Thomas and his ilk, where they viewed themselves, or where Dale come into power, and things will be different. I can't imagine it would be any fucking different, really. I think they would get in there, realize there's not much that can be done anyway. And let's be honest, they're not going to get within a hair's fucking breadth of power, people like that. Or I just can't see it fucking happening.
No. First of all, people have to like you, even in the remotest way. These people are not fit to, lead a fucking Congo line. The thing is, even if they did get into power, let me remind you that she's second in power, Rebecca Barrett of the National Party, because she's, you know, Justin's woman. I didn't see her pop up at all for the first few years. I think she just eventually decided to get it involved, because he was married that whole time. She was just an invisible woman, you know, as these kind of people like to keep it. They're women in the background, unseen, unheard.
Nothing wrong with that.
That was supposed to be a joke. All right, so if she was in power, right, just think about it. She ran a GoFundMe fundraiser for this guy that, you know, he illegally had his children taken from France as, you know, shared custody, and he kept them in Ireland for, like, months past the date, and basically said that he wouldn't return them, and the wife had to take him to court in Ireland and in France, which is a fucking headache to do, like, and it's not cheap. And he lost. And because he happened to be filming Gardaí drag parishioners out of a church, the connection was made between that and a raid on his home, like a dawn raid to take his children, because, you know, they had to be returned to their mother. People made that connection, rather people like Justin and Rebecca Barrett and other pundits on the scene said, oh, it's because, you know, he's a rebel, that this is the Gardaí intimidating a citizen, without mentioning, you know, this whole legal process. So Rebecca Barrett, you know, says, okay, I'll start a GoFundMe to support this man and set the bar at 10 grand. She let it tick over to about 13 grand. She closed it finally because, you know, it was starting to look kind of bad, really. And we haven't heard a fucking word since. Nothing. So, really, we want someone like her? An unaccountable scammer, possibly? I have to cover my tracks here legally, because I don't know. You know, she probably did all the right things, but I don't think so, because there's no transparency. Mm-hmm. She didn't say anything where that money went. So that's kind of shifty. She's guilty of something. Come on. How is that different from the Leo Varadkars and the Micheál Martins and, you know, the whole rake of them?
But it's not. And that's the worrying thing about people who seem to gravitate towards power. It seems mostly just self-interest. I could never see myself being friendly with the likes of a Leo or Rebecca or Justin Barrett. See, to my mind, if you wanted to do something good, you would. There's other avenues to do it, and probably better avenues to do it. If you want to help other people, and most people who do it tend to do it quietly and out of the limelight, and but that's enough. Mm-hmm. But to gravitate towards political power, I would hope that people would do it because they're civically minded. But I don't know any of these people. But I don't even get that impression. I don't even get a slight fucking impression from one of them. You know, even if they could fake it well, that might even be enough for me. You know, you know, the even the old skill of oratory is gone. Like, you know, none of them are even, you know, good at rhetoric. You can just fucking tell that they're reading from a script. And so that's how poor it is that I would actually be happy if we got a decent actor in the Dáil who could, you know, fake it to some extent.
What do you call that, the guy, UKIP?
Oh, Nigel Farage.
Farage. He was brilliant in the EU Parliament, given all sorts of fucking ruckus, you know, even though he just turned out to be like a part of the system that was kind of self-regulating. You know, still, he was a pleasure to listen to, and he was, you know, making all the fucking good points.
That's all, Irish politicians used to be, you know, famous for their oration. What have we got now? Like, it's, you know, fucking Jackie Healy-Ray from the foothills of fucking Kerry, Leo Varadkar. The only time I've seen him get actually animated was when he was talking about fucking schoolboys going back to school. That's the most excited and genuine I've seen the man.
Oh my God, we need to play that. That was brilliant.
But really, you know, they're all damp fucking squibs. Or Micheál Martin, our current leader. He could be talking about anything, and it's just the same dry, uninspired horseshit that falls out of his mouth. I don't know. That's maybe what modern government is. It's just the bunch of fucking managers. That's what it is. It's just the managerial class. It's a corporation. It's just keeping the corporation, keeping the, you know, brand Ireland going at the general, the AGM of Europe. You know, it's like, okay, and how's the last quarter for our Irish sector? Yes, the Negroes are increasing their spending power by 25% this quarter. You know, I don't fucking know. Like, I've all but given up, really, which is tragic in and of its fucking self, because I haven't really started at all to begin with. I think there's something to just, you know, that ignorance is bliss. Wouldn't you like to just be totally ignorant of all of it? It's back to that ideal lifestyle of just not to have to contend with it. But we have to, because what's at stake here really is our fucking lives. And I know that might seem like hyperbole, but it's not. because the mm-hmm. way things are going, it's not too far a push until they're coming and taking people away. And again, we get back into, you know, paranoid conspiracy space. But it is it's a beautiful system that's set up now where you can be essentially taken away for wrongthink, put into an institution, be positively diagnosed with COVID, be put into a hospital, be put on an incubator, and you're gone.
That's it. Yeah. State assassination via iatrogenics, murder through the course of medical treatment. Yeah, that's that's pretty fucking bleak, man. Thanks for that.
No, but it's okay. I'm sure you've thought about it, like, you know, it's hardly like a fucking original thought. But that's what we're potentially up against. Or I just could be paranoid, you know. At least I'm at a stage in my life now where, you know, you can deal with the paranoia or be content with the fact that, oh, well, you know, you're probably wrong. Go back to sleep. Everything will be okay. Maybe it's too bleak. But the good thing is that, you know, we're so innocuous. Why would anybody be bothered with us? And I think that's part of the whole conspiracy movement as well, that there is maybe a sense of grandiosity where, you know, you can think you're the spy or you're the secret agent or, you know, you've uncovered mm-hmm. some grand conspiracy and the authorities are out to get you, and you have that trope of the black helicopter following you, because it makes
a targeted individuals.
It makes a dull existence seem exciting, but that's not to say that it could happen too, you know.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you, as a certain sage once said. You know, something really clicked for me I was going to say of all people, but he's usually very insightful anyway. Million Dollar Extreme. What's this guy's name?
Say Million Dollar Extreme?
Yeah. That's the name of his YouTube channel. There we go. Fuck. I keep forgetting this guy's name. Because it's so bizarre. It's so off the wall.
Sam Hyde.
There we go. Thank you. Jesus Christ. That was embarrassing. All right. We're back on track, folks. He said something that really clicked for me. He was criticizing this article that was out at the time of the kind of QAnon Pizzagate kind of thing, where it's like, oh, you know, you're just making shit up in your head, you know, connections that aren't there. Sam said, you know, you're dealing with things where, you know, there are two kinds of people in the territory, where the one kind of person is willing to kind of look insane by basically contravening the norms, you know, because it's, you know, to say that, you know, there's chemicals being sprayed in the sky that are killing mm-hmm. us, kind of, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, it's a taboo. You can ruin your life talking about these things because people don't want anything to do with you. It's a social taboo. So there's people out there who are brave enough to face those penalties. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other type of person who they just don't actually give a fuck about the social penalties. They probably don't have anything to mm-hmm. lose in the first place because they're already fucking crazy. So, you know, you have a mixed bag there. So, of course, you're going to find fucking lunatics in these areas of, like, say, conspiracy theories, nationalism, any kind of fringe ideology, like, you know, you would maybe even get like a spree killer or something, you know. Shit happens.
Yeah, you just got to filter it out when they're joining the club. I think even the word conspiracy theory, or even just conspiracy in and of itself, it's so fucking loaded. Mm-hmm. To mention it is probably the biggest mistake to begin with. Because the yep. second you say it, people just immediately switch off. It's like, oh, here we fucking go. Like, you know, UFOs, chemtrails, Holocaust denial, anti-vaxxer. You know, it just comes flooding into people's minds. So you have to kind of mm-hmm. frame it in such a way that you're almost, it's almost Socratic questioning when you're talking to somebody who either has never thought about it or isn't going to engage with you, or like you said, just thinks you're an absolute fucking lunatic. Because it's not an everyday conversation to say to somebody, oh, hey, did you look up the sky? We're slowly being poisoned. Or and rightly so, in some cases it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, you know, you just can't like pull that one out of the bag. Like, what's that based on? Well, I saw a video of some guy saying it. He showed me a video of some other guy talking about it, who had a picture of a couple of tanks on a plane. That's not good enough, you know. It's not good enough. And the problem with conspiracy is that a lot of it it's verificationism. You're starting. You're starting at the end of the cycle, so you know, it's not even a theory. You don't even do any work on the hypothesis. You're just going, okay, well, this is fact, when it's not. 9 times out of 10, it's just something you fucking heard from somebody else that sounds right, or makes a really complicated issue fairly fucking simple, and solves a couple of problems mm-hmm. for you. So, like the Rothschilds. So the Rothschilds are running the planet. Well, that's why I didn't fucking succeed. Because I'm not in with the fucking Rothschilds. That's why I'm not a lecturer in Oxford. Because I don't have the right connections. Granted, I've got a really fucking high IQ, but I don't have the right connections. That's why I'm not a millionaire. And really, it could be, well, no, that's, you know, one ingredient of a financially successful person is that they have a high IQ. And that's not even a necessary ingredient. There's lots of dumb motherfuckers who have lots of money. You know, you don't have to be particularly intelligent to make a lot of money. But there's lots of ingredients that go into making somebody successful. And even the word success is a fucking mystery to me. People seem to sell books on success. Like how you can just become successful in and of itself is a mystery. Or by reading a book or watching a video that you're going to become successful. It really, I think it depends on what you want to actually become successful in. So if there's a particular field you want to become successful in, well then study the fucking field. Put some hard work in instead of studying success per se. But I can understand how people would become resentful, and maybe rightfully so. Some people do tend to get fucked over in life or for positions because you don't have the right connections, or because you're a dickhead, because you won't play the game. Just as simple as that. I listened to a Mickey Rourke interview the other day, so in the 80s.
Who's that?
He's an actor, an American actor. He's most well known for 9 1/2 Weeks, a fucking cheesy romance movie in the early 90s. I'm sure if you Google him, you'll probably recognize him. But in the 90s, the early 90s, he was the next big thing. He was the next Marlon Brando, that kind of actor, you know. So he came from kind of dirt poor background, was seriously abused as a child by his father, his stepfather, But always wanted to be an actor. And then through sweat and tears, he became an actor, became fairly successful, but didn't play the politics game in Hollywood. And I think he called out, I think Sam Goldwyn or somebody of that ilk, which is fucking Hollywood royalty. And essentially, he never worked again for the next 20 years, and his life just went to absolute shit. But again, massively talented, but just wouldn't play the game, wouldn't compromise, and just became a monumental, entitled asshole. But 20, 30 years later, managed to pull it back and recognized his mistakes. But there's not a lot you can do at that fucking stage. But I just thought that. So it's not just about raw talent. You have to be wise, and you have to play the game, and you have to compromise if you want to do certain things. And if you don't, fair enough too. But you don't really get to fucking cry about it. And some things are worth more than money, aren't they? Really? Isn't your integrity worth more than a fucking some position, or, you know, a couple of hundred grand in your bank account, or a couple of million? Do you think that's really going
to... Your connection to nature and the other human beings that you share this fleeting slice of time and space with.
It's not really valued because we don't live in that type of fucking world anymore. So everybody's chasing the lifestyle and the wealth. And granted, it helps. You don't have to worry about where, you know, your next meal is coming from, or if the bailiffs are going to show up at your door and kick you out of your fucking house. I don't know where I'm going with this now.
You're making a call back to our friend.
Yeah,
you know.
And I'm only using him as an example. I'm sorry, Thomas. I don't know anything about you, but I'm just I have a hunch. Let's put it that way. Could be completely fucking wrong. Probably will be wrong, because, you know, it wouldn't be the first time.
It does seem to be how he's putting things across from the... I'd imagine that I watched a good bit more of him than you have. And he does seem bitter. And you know what? I have my moments as well. I have to actually consciously try not to be bitter. And then also self-flagellate myself with all the memories of what I didn't do correctly. And then I think, oh yeah, this is actually my fault. Okay, cool.
We all do. And that's why I admire him, because he's fucking honest about it. That's rare. You know, nobody really stands up and says, you know what? Yeah, I am fucking resentful. You know, and nobody ever says, you know, well, the reason I don't like somebody is because they're better than me. When have you ever heard anybody say that? You know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, very, very, very true. Yeah. We haven't praised that enough in him. Can I make a call back to the oration skills of the average Irish politician? And if the NP want to be a serious opposition, which they'll never fucking be.
Adolf, like fucking...
Well, I mean, look, this is 49 seconds of Justin Barrett speaking, and his mannerisms just make it even worse than it sounds, right? So he really never said anything terrible. That's why you never have quotes of Justin Barrett where, you know, the mainstream is saying, oh, look, he said this terrible thing. You know, like we should just say, like our recent friend Pat said, that we should just load up all the darkies in a boat and then fire a torpedo at it. You know, he hasn't, you know, come out and said that we should have a pogrom, but he's getting close. This is about a month ago plus, you know, he has these little things where he pretends that he's talking to a crowd of the public, but really it's in a secret location in a hotel somewhere where he's talking to the same 20 people, right? So he decided, I'll go for the edgelord thing, right? I'll push the boat out a little bit. But what he really did was he gave it all his might. He pushed the fuck out of that boat, and then he threw a match on it and it burnt to the ground. Listen to this shit.
Tell you what super rich is. 85 people in the United States own as much as the other 330 million. 85 of them. And most of those 85 have something in common.
Uh-oh.
Because you're not allowed to say on YouTube what they have in common.
Oh, Jesus.
It's so cringy.
Even the whole 185 of them.
They're circumcised members. You cannot say it on YouTube at all.
So, yeah, he's not gripping whole swathes of the population with his oration skills.
Maybe that's not it. Maybe I need to recant. I'm fucking thankful we don't have politicians with good oration skills. Because we'd be fucking eating out of their fucking hands. Let's say a prayer. Dear Lord below, please refrain from sending us an Obama-type politician. Please never darken our doorstep with a darkie who can the silver tongue or send the awful Jew to fool us poor Irish peasants. Thank you, Lord. Jesus fucking Christ. Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 Is it amen or amen? Amen. I always thought it was amen. It's just the going back to the confirmation, the priest was going amen.
It doesn't matter. Just slip a fiver into the priest's hand or suck his dick. Okay. It's grand. Say whatever.
Talking
you like.
Of sucking dicks, right? I don't know if this says more about me, but they need to change some of the wording for the ritual of the confirmation. Because the priest kept talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon the children, and that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and came upon the disciples. So I'm just going to pen a handwritten letter, and just ask them, change it up a little bit. Just the Holy Spirit descended upon. It's better because some of us have. Fairly dirty minds, and I just couldn't get that image out of my head of the Holy Spirit just
of coming on wanking children.
All over the disciples. It's just not fucking on. It's just not. Given the history of the Catholic Church, some real fucking work needs to go into it. I've been reading G.K. Chesterton again. Maybe they need to have a meeting and just, find inspiration there. Bring in the PR people. I don't know. All the infrastructure's there. They just... It's the optics, It's the optics. Oh, God.
I don't know. Scientology, they're good at, kind of packaging things in a cool and exciting
really?
Way.
I don't know. I think I'm too cynical at this fucking stage. I don't think I could bite on that particular offering. Scientology, maybe we just need a whole new religion. Or none at all.
Yeah, I'm working on
how's
that.
How's it going?
In the background, slowly. I haven't really done anything with it at all.
Oh, it's slack then, is it? The fucking someone's got there before you.
Yeah. It's a shame. All the good ideas are saved.
Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? We've arrived at this time.
Yeah.
Everything's been invented. All the ideas have been gone through endlessly by far superior minds to ourselves.
Yeah. It's like that scene in Jim Carrey, The Truman Show. He stands up in class as a little boy and says, "I want to be an explorer." Oh, yeah. The teacher pulls down the atlas and says, "Sorry, everything's been explored."
Okay, go back to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit. Well, now you have your car. You get to see how far you can drive before you before you hit the fucking coastline. Shit. No escape from this fucking island. Or this planet.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the best. Yeah.
I never really actually seriously thought, is this actually an island or am I really surrounded by a dome and the rest of the world is an illusion created by the media? I never really, looked into that.
Yeah, I'm sure you fucking did. The best advice is probably is to stay local. That way the world always seems bigger. The more you tend to travel, the smaller it gets, and the more aware you are that you're actually stuck on the fucking thing. But if you never leave 10 kilometers radius of where you were born, the world always seems much bigger.
There's something to be said for unfulfilled dreams because once you fulfill your dreams, then you don't have any dreams anymore.
I think we're safe on that front. We are already a success. You want to pause for some liquid? I need to get some liquid.
Yeah, I was thinking just the same. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. All right. Did you listen to this song by these Irish guys called Bog Bodies?
Yeah, you sent me the link. Yeah, a guy with dreadlocks, was it?
Kind of lefty, crusty,
shell of the sea type guy. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, and definitely. I mean, he does talk about the fight against Shell. But I thought, wow, this, yeah, good, great. It's like Jimmy Cullen. You know how Jimmy Cullen, talks about politics in his music? It's like that, but better.
That wouldn't be hard.
You know? Good, you actually. Just passable for today's standards.
It's a work of genius by today's standards. It's hard to pull that off as well, not to come across as a complete fucking tool. That genre, yeah. So, how long does that run for? Are we good with it?
This is 3:24, but I can queue up another song called "Low Riders in Space."
All right, cool. Let's do it.
Catch you on the flip side.
We all know that the regime prefers not to disclose where the gates are locked, where the doors are closed, where the war must go on, where the price must go up, where we must not see them while they're watching us. I know a little village, it's called Rossport Mayo. They tried to send Shell to sea, but sure, how could they know that the corporate lobby was so ruthless and strong? Well, I thought our republic would have their back, it turns out I was wrong. Look at the Native American out in North Dakota protesting the pipeline against the company's quota. Held their line strong against the boys in blue, against private security and the media too. So I know that Buru energy, they want to frack the Kimberley. If it wasn't for the Aborigine standing up in the way to white history, tell me, how can this be? All have eyes and all have minds, but no memory.
declared state relief, and they demanded it now. Cause there's wells that went dry that never went dry before. You know, it's Coca-Cola sucking it up from deep in the bore. I get my water from plastic. It's distributed that way. It's mixed with sugar and oil. I throw the bottle away. And it's a curse of convenience. Come back to haunt you and me. To all that single-use plastic that's clogging up our seas. The indigenous populations are spearheading the resistance, a savage revocation of the rights of no nation to consume and to destroy without consultation. Are you a holy well, or are you a holy well? Are you a holy well, or are you a holy well? It seems to me a holy well was here from before. The rain come down and all around and around once more. Bathe your eyes three times to be sure, and continue on your journey knowing you'll be back for sure.